Welcome to the Round 18, your Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm, of course, Marcus, and I'm joined this week by podcast regulars Mark, or FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
And Faz.
Hey, guys, back from my flu, so good to be back.
We'll start off this week, as we do usually, by letting you guys know how we scored on the weekend. So I'll kick it off. I scored 22-75, so down on a fairly high-scoring round. I had Hodgie on the bench and a few low scores. Hearn, my new recruit for sure, didn't quite pan out, but his run improves drastically from here. So I'm hoping he picks it up, and I'm actually going to use another two trades this week. So being quite trigger-happy late in the season. Mark, how are you going?
Yeah, I had a bit of a better week this week. I didn't have any of the Hawks out. I scored 24-4, which moved me up about 300 spots. Still sitting in that awkward spot about 2,500, far too far away to really have a shot, and just really struggling to make up ground at the moment. It's good to have Port Adelaide on the bye this week, so we've got a pretty much full side, and it'll be good to get out there and compete against the best with a full team.
Yeah, I actually had you in the leagues this week, Mark. You got me by about 40 points. I scored 23.95. I'll put that down to Graham Johncock, who scored me a 50, while Nick Lower went and put out a massive score for you. Got Pendlebury into my team finally this week, so that's looking a lot nicer in my midfield now. Gave him the captain as well, so that was very handy with 145. Just hoping he doesn't get rested this week against Gold Coast.
Rumours are that he will.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I seem to put the curse on just about every player I bring into my side, so it's happened yet again.
All right, we'll kick off this week's discussion with two Hawks players. Grant Birchall and Matt Suckling are both available in the back line, and it's actually a decision I'm going through this week, so I'm looking forward to hearing the views from both of you. We'll start off with Suckling, who's 424,000. He's averaged 96 so far, and of course it's been his breakout season, and we all know his key attributes, his awesome and accurate kick. Long kicks, so that's where he scores a majority of his Supercoach points. And Grant Birchall's another who's averaged around 80s in the past. He's at 436,000 with an average of 94.6 so far this year. Mark, do you have a favourite between these two?
I think my favourite player out of the two would be Suckling, but I think that Birchall's probably going to turn out to be the better Supercoach pick for the year. I think his ceiling's probably a little bit higher. I like the fact that he's been around for a bit longer, decent durability. Look, the Hawks have got a pretty good run, so both of them I think you'll go pretty well with. I just think that Suckling's probably more likely to put in a 70 than Birchall is, and Birchall's more likely to put in a 150 than Suckling is. So with those things in mind, I think Birchall's a slightly better pick, but look, it's pretty close from my perspective. What do you think, Baz?
Yeah, I think you're right about Birch having the better scoring potential. He's quite good with his sort of marking off opposition kicks, which is obviously Supercoach gold. My one thing, though, would be, as you mentioned, Hawthorn have a pretty easy run home, and I'd say Birch was probably the more likely of the two of those to get rested, given that Suckling's pretty much only in his first year as a sort of regular player in Hawthorn's team. I'd say he'll probably be less likely, given that I guess he's entrenched his spot in the 22 by now with his form so far this year, but he'd still be, you know, wanting to keep playing each game, whereas Birchall has been in the side and the system for a few more years, so he's sort of more used to, you know, having a rest in those last few games. They've got Gold Coast round 24, so that's one that I'm guessing there's not going to be a whole lot of Hawthorn's best 22 playing in that match if they can afford it. They do have a lot of injuries.
Interesting point you bring up there, Faz, because that Suns game in round 24, it just looks really juicy. It's like, if you're playing a league game, you'd be like, I want to get as many Hawks into my team as possible because they're playing the Suns and they should score really well in round 24. But then put that flip side where a lot of the good Hawks might actually be rested. So it's definitely a difficult decision to be making at this point with only 7 games left in the season. If one of your players that you trade in misses a game, that could be quite costly for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they'll play it because in past years, most teams tend to rest sort of in round 22. So normally that's, you know, giving them a chance to come back and play that final game for the year. But yeah, that seems just too good an opportunity to pass up with Gold Coast. We're seeing Collingwood will probably do it this week. So I'd be surprised if Hawthorn play a full strength team that week.
The best way to lead up to finals, I guess, you want all your players to be rested, but you also want to be playing a fairly consistent 22 so that you build good form towards the rest towards the end of the season. I'm not sure that a club would take a risk in having, you know, six players resting the round just before finals, but yeah, definitely a couple of Hawks could be rested, but I'd expect them to probably spread the resting out. They do have Melbourne, Frio, North, Port, and Gold Coast in the next few rounds, so like relatively easy opposition coming up, and their spots fairly sewn up in the top four. So,
and they're just coming off a bye as well, so they've had a pretty late bye to equip them for finals as well, so that might see them through. So which one are you leaning towards at the moment, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Birchall just because he has the better history, and he seems to have scored a bit better than Suckling since the first bye. That's really gut feel. I can't split them apart too much. And to be honest, I don't watch enough of the Hawks to pick their games apart to pinpoint one over the other, really. I might head over some forums to get some views, maybe.
Birchall is coming off his two lowest games in the last sort of seven or eight rounds against Collingwood or Brisbane. So you'd hope that he wasn't getting tagged out of games. You'd hope that he might benefit from the bye. Obviously, against Collingwood, their Hawthorn chipping game really didn't work. And I think Brisbane challenged the Hawks a bit as well. So I think Birchall will probably benefit just about as much as anyone from games where they win big, because they, you can just maneuver the ball around the back half at will, basically.
Now, the next bloke we're going to talk about is actually a rookie on the bubble from Adelaide. That's Daniel Taulia. He was, of course, a first-round draft pick from a couple of years ago, but has been hampered by injuries and only just broke into the team late this season, having again been affected by injuries this year. I personally have brought him into my team last week with the MPP with Grundy. He's a good marker. With the injury to John Cock possibly being out another week, and
I think Davis picked up another injury as well, Marcus. So with Davis, I think he's out for the rest of the year now, so gives him a bit more chance as well.
Yeah, I just think that having strung together a few games, I think he'll prove his worth in the team and keep his spot for the rest of the season. Adelaide obviously look pretty gone, and Craig will need to find, you know, any sort of gem he can to try and, you know, prove his coaching worth.
Yeah, I also brought him in last week along with you, Marcus. I've got Sam Gilbert in my side, who also is a recent addition to my side, so I've got the MPP flexibility with him there. And watching his game against Essendon on Friday night, it was quite impressive. He played a key defensive role, had Paddy Ryder for most of the night, and although Paddy scored 99 Supercoach, most of those points came from his work in the ruck, where he had 25 hitouts, only had 9 possessions and kicked 1 goal. So didn't do a whole lot when he was up forward. It was mainly Michael Hurley's move up there that won Essendon the game, I think. So it was quite impressive. And I think he had Sam Reed the week before the bye and kept him to about 50 or 60 Supercoach points. So he's had two good outings so far. As you mentioned earlier, Mark, Phil Davis will be missing for the rest of the year. He was put on the long-term injury list this week, and I think it's a minimum of 8 games you have to miss for that, which takes us through the end of the year. And Luke Thompson's also been out of form recently. Be very surprised if he loses his spot for the rest of the year. I'd be expecting him to play out the remaining 7 games.
And then we'll move on to the midfield, where we'll take a look at a player who seems to turn his form around last week with 17 possessions in the first term, and that's Lee Montagne. He scored 154 Supercoach points, and he was only priced at $382,000 last week, went up 30K, so he's at $412,000, and remains a pretty good and cheap option for those of you who need to do any sideways in your midfields at this stage of the season.
Yeah, he definitely presents a lot. Mate, Nate, that did bring him in last week for $380,000. That did turn out to be a pretty good pickup. I know that won him a couple of league games on the weekend, 154 against the Eagles, and really did seem to be back in form in that first half. I'm not quite sure what's happened with Montagne this year, whether he's just been a victim of St Kilda's form or whether he's been carrying an injury in the first half of the year, but he really hasn't been himself. If he can play out the rest of the season and build on a bit of form, then his history is one of the two best players out there, so it does seem to be very cheap. He's got a couple of tough games. He's got to play Collingwood and Carlton in the latter part of the year, but he's also got some easy games with Adelaide, the Suns, North Melbourne maybe. So should realistically be a pretty good pickup this week at such a cheap price.
Did see an interview with him, I think it was today that I read it, and he said that he benefited from the most of West Coast's attention going towards Nick Del Santo and Goddard, so he pretty much had free rein to run through the midfield, which I guess you need to get 17 touches in a quarter. So I'm not sure how much we can read into that performance on the weekend, but it is good signs, and you know, there's not a lot of players that are at that cheaper price point. We'll move on to another one now, who's Matthew Boyd. Came into a lot of teams only a few weeks ago, but has dropped off a bit in form recently. Scores of 91, 106, 70, 116 and 87, which is, I think, the 164 that came before that was what prompted a lot of people to bring him in. He's currently priced at 438,000. What are your guys' thoughts on Matthew Boyd?
It's a bit annoying in the last quarter last week where he actually went backwards by 3 points. He scored 50 points in the second quarter and then went backwards by 3 points in the last quarter. That was really annoying. And I hear Marcus has informed me that it's actually you that is to blame, Faz. I hear that you might have brought him in pretty close to that 164 and your curse has brought his scoring down.
I believe it correlates exactly. I think it was the week after that 164 I brought him in. So, yeah, only one score above 110 since then. So you can put the blame on me yet again for another premium's drop-off in scoring. Yeah. Marcus, are you thinking of bringing him in? I know the curse seems to lift after a few weeks the player's been in my team, so it could be a time to jump on.
Yeah, I remember at that point you were deciding between Hodge and Boyd. Hodge has gone on to score 115, 114, 142 and 163, and thankfully I avoided the Afari curse. But yeah, I think he has Sydney and West Coast and then the bye. So obviously it's not great scoring coming up, and considering he does have the bye, he'd be an ideal target to sort of trade. But this late in the season, it's pretty hard to gain many points just because we have less rounds to benefit from such a trade. And Boyd's obviously a premium, so you back him to turn it around. I'm just sort of afraid that the start of the season was an anomaly, because Boyd hasn't tended to be that strong Supercoach scorer in the past. And as we know, it's pretty hard for a premium to break out as he has. And Griffin has been playing some superb football as well. And it's also weird that his drop-off in form has come together with the re-emergence of Bulldogs playing well together as a team. So I'm not too sure. I guess Cooney has also come back and playing some decent football. Yeah, look, I wouldn't be, you know, that happy, you know, having to carry him for the next seven rounds, but I'm just not sure how advantageous it'd be to actually trade him out. I think you just got to hope he turns it around, because he still is a good footballer and he's had a good season and a good preseason. So he's very capable of still, you know, pumping out a big score to save it.
But yeah, that is a very good point that you mentioned, with him having the bye remaining. Now that there's only 7 weeks left for the season, that means 1/7 of that time he won't be playing, obviously. And as we get closer and closer to the end of the year, players with any remaining buys become harder and harder to pick, just for that very reason, that's one less game that they'll be scoring for you.
Yeah, I really wouldn't be bringing anyone in with a bye left. The only circumstance I think you can justify that really is if you're going for the league wins and you're thinking about bringing in someone that has a bye in round 19 where there's not actually a league game. So Richmond players, Brisbane players, Sydney players are still viable, but I think anyone else with a bye, you're probably just better off picking someone else. And I think we did sort of touch on that a little bit last week.
Speaking about premiums who don't have any buys remaining, we've got two that are fresh off the bye, two Hawthorn players, Sam Mitchell and Luke Hodge. Both are really good premium options for the remainder of the season, and they are playing Gold Coast in round 24, as we did discuss, so that is something to think about as well. How do you guys feel between the two? Mitchell seems to have lifted. He does have a career-best Supercoach average at the moment, and Hodgie, of course, has picked up significantly. If you discount his Geelong games and his first game, I think he's averaging something like 120 to 125, which is, you know, very much Hodge-like of previous years.
Hodge is one of my favourite players in the AFL, so I'd pick Hodge pretty easily.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with that. But of the two, I'd say Mitchell possibly has more consistency. He seems to sort of always stay within that sort of 90 to 110, 115 bracket, whereas Hodge lifts his average with those massive scores that he can pull out. 163 that week before the bye. Also has 150 in there somewhere and a couple 140s. So I guess with seven games left, it becomes a question of whether you think he'll get any, like, how many more of those big games do you reckon he's got left in him? And if you want the safe option, I'd say Mitchell's probably going to keep churning along with some handy scores, but probably won't have as big a day as Hodge will.
What I can say about Hodge is that he is a very good captaincy option because he tends to play very well against certain teams, and he always does score well against those teams. I know I brought him in round 10 and capped him then, scored 152 for me. In round 16, he had a really good record against Brisbane, and of course I captained him then, and 163 got doubled. So that is something to think about. I know it seems pretty obscure, but he is very reliable against certain opposition, and that means you can get a lot of points from giving him the captaincy.
And you can't just go based off the easy draw either, because he had a record possession count and scored 142 against Collingwood. So even against the tougher teams when Hawthorn are losing, he does have the potential to put out really big scores. I think Mitchell in previous seasons has actually been known for those really low scores rather than Hodge. And so I'd actually say Mitchell's probably more likely to put out the really low score if he can get tagged right out of a game. I know Cross did it in the second half of the Bulldogs Hawthorn game where Mitchell really hardly touched the ball in that half. He hasn't been tagged out of a full game this year. I just think Hodge's upside is that bit bigger, and he really does seem to have built some fitness, and so I'd be backing Hodgie in from here.
Yeah, I just had a quick look at his average against opponents there, Marcus, when you mentioned that. Yeah, he's got Melbourne, Freo coming up, who he averages about 100 against, but then has his games remaining against Carlton, who he averages 139 against, Bulldogs 141, North Melbourne 118, and Gold Coast he's only played the once, so that 115 you probably can't count too much into that, but it looks like he does have a few of those opponents that he likes playing remaining for his schedule.
Awesome. Now, we're going to go to the Rucks now. Where we did talk about Mumford last week, but he did score 118 last week, and with McAvoy, score being affected by the return of Cozzy. McAvoy, of course, only scored 66 on the weekend. Just wanted to bring Mumford back up. He's currently priced at 405,000, and with his second solid score in a row, he has fully bottomed out with a break even of only 75. And of course, to those of you looking at the league win, this is more relevant because he still does have that one bye remaining. But his last four rounds read Richmond, St Kilda, Geelong, and Brisbane. So Richmond was particularly good for ruck scoring, and Brisbane might be a nice game for Mumford as well.
He just gets so many points from the actual hit out. I think he only had like 7 or 8 possessions, and he had scored 116.
I just looked at it. They have 52 hit outs. That's amazing. But yeah, going back quickly to what you said about McAvoy, I think Cozzy's return did have a bit of an effect, but also playing against Nick Nat and Dean Cox was also a big factor in lowering his score. You know, they're undoubtedly the best ruck combination in the league, and they were able to sort of negate his ability to take big contested marks around the ground and stuff. So I wouldn't be too concerned if I was a McAvoy owner. I actually brought Darren Jolly into my team a couple of weeks ago and forgot to even think about Mumford. So that was a big brain fart by me there. I see a Zach Smith up to Mumford trade. If anyone's still playing Zach Smith on field, I reckon that's a great option just because Mumford's one of those. I can't see Zach Smith averaging more than about 90 for the rest of the year and could also potentially get rested at some point, whereas Mumford, I'd be backing to sort of that 118, I think, is a sign of what's to come. He should return to those scores that he was pulling out at the start of the year.
Yeah, if he can figure out how to remove those sling tackles from his game, he's going to be definitely a superb ruckman to have in Supercoach seasons to come. Now, the last guy we're going to look at this week is Mark Lacroix. I don't think we've mentioned him because we've been waiting for a poor score to filter out. And of course, he had Geelong and St Kilda over the last 2 weeks. And as expected, he didn't score quite as well. Although last week, he did have quite a lot of disposals, but just couldn't use it efficiently by foot, which caused quite a few turnovers and only 68 in Supercoach scoring. But if we look at his remaining run, we've mentioned it many times before, West Coast have one of the best finals runs. So do keep that in mind for those of you going for the league win, that this is probably the perfect opportunity to bring Mark Lacroix in. He has Fremantle, Bulldogs, Richmond, Melbourne, Essendon, Brisbane, and Adelaide coming up. So thumbs up from me for Mark Lacroix, and I'm planning to bring him in myself for the underperforming and, I suspect, injured Jack Rewalt.
Yeah, I'm actually in a pretty similar move there, Marcus.
I think we're all thinking about this, eh?
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, really, but I think I'm just a bit short on cash, so I'm hoping that the Cry doesn't have too big a week this week, and I think Jack Rewat's break-even is about 80, so hopefully he can, you know, pull something out. I don't know how. He's looked pretty woeful the last few weeks, but if he can score like a 95 or something and Lacroix can keep it reasonably low because his break-even is about 120-odd, I'm hoping that that sort of those last 10K that I'm short on can be made up this week. Fingers crossed. I think I'd have to get pretty lucky.
So you're hoping that Rewald has his best game in ages against Geelong? Pretty much not going to happen, mate. Obviously it could happen, but geez, in the form that he's been in and copping an injury and stuff, geez, I'm pretty frustrated with Rewald. And I think the injuries made him turn out to be a pretty poor pick. It's so frustrating because he's actually in the Coleman at the moment. They think that he'd be scoring all right, but he's just not. And Faz, to be honest, given your curse, if I bring Lacroix in this week, I'd prefer if you didn't bring him next week.
All right, mate, I'll steer clear of him in that case.
Yeah, that'd be very much appreciated, mate. Look, that run home looks great. I think it was so frustrating and secular on the weekend for Lacroix owner because he just got so much of the ball. He looked really good. His marking was really good. Positioning of himself, and he was just really, really impressive, except for his kicking. He just couldn't land a kick to save himself against the Saints. So Lacroix's not known for that. He's a very skillful player, so you'd hope that he could get his kicking sorted out, and if he can, that he would be a pretty solid pick for the rest of the season. And I just wish he had MPP going for him because that would just really get me over the line.
And for those of you who, you know, don't really watch West Coast or Lacroix, his scores don't look that great. He's only averaging 85, and of course, I think he has, 7 scores under 72. But don't be disheartened. From round 8 to 13, he did manage 5 pretty big Supercoach tons, and it's good to see him finally move into the midfield with West Coast finally, you know, having that forward depth that they've needed with Lynch back in form, the introduction of Darling, and of course, Kennedy's continued improvement. So definitely get on the Cry despite his fairly average-looking Supercoach scoring so far this season. He'll definitely come good on the run home.
Yeah, I think he really seems to struggle against the best sides in the comp. He had a 43 against Collingwood, 61 against Carlton, 71 against Geelong, and 68 last week against Saints. And although they're not a top four side, they are playing some pretty good football at the moment. So it is pretty heartening to see that out of his remaining 7 games, 5 against bottom 8 and then Freo and Essendon. So not the absolute best. So he should be able to score some pretty good ones there.
Yeah.
And Freo and Essendon are both at Paterson Stadium, which is a pretty big advantage for him, I think.
So that rounds up this week's show. It's a bit of a short one. We're running out of players to talk about at this stage of the season, but nonetheless, we hope that helped you out in some way, and best of luck for the upcoming round.
Yep. Yeah, see you guys,
Marcus,
next week.
Thanks, Faz. Hopefully I'm still a chance of catching you, Marcus.
Yeah. Keep dreaming.